a very special evening, co-hosted by the Bialystok Shul in the Eastside Torah Center, Leili Nishmas Mayor Ben Yitzchak David Sandel. Is a very, very beautiful evening, not just for the community, but I feel a certain personal connection to Reb David Harris Shlita and to the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva by extension. As you know, I'm not a product of Yeshiva's Chofetz Chaim in the conventional sense of the term, but on a personal level I do have a kesher to Chofetz Chaim that goes back a good number of years, and for which I have a tremendous hakaras hatov to the yeshiva. I don't think I've ever expressed this publicly, but it seems like an opportune time to be able to do so. A number of years ago, I was a 14-year-old ninth grader in a school which I thought didn't maximize the opportunities for Libur HaTorah in the ways in which I really wanted them to. And I was introduced through a friend to Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, which at that time was in Forest Hills, set up with the Chavrusa on a weekly basis. Ended up sleeping one night a week in Queens by a friend of mine. And even though subsequently the connection with Chofetz Chaim specifically in my case didn't continue, I went on to be involved in other yeshivas. But the first time I ever walked into a yeshiva Beis Medrash was at that age of 14, and it was Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim in Forest Hills. Obviously it made a tremendous roshem, a tremendous impression. And it was fortunate in retrospect that the yeshiva that I first walked into was Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim. Because beyond the Limud HaTorah, which goes on in the Dalet Amos within the four walls of Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, which is common to really any yeshiva, there's something very unique about the approach of Chofetz Chaim, which distinguishes it from other places of learning. The emphasis on midos, the emphasis on musa, the emphasis on yofutsu ma'inosecha chutsa, that the yeshiva should do everything that it possibly can to try to spread Torah beyond the four walls of the yeshiva, an emphasis on dikduk b'mitzvahs, an emphasis on ben adam l'chaveira. When I had the opportunity to spend time at camp with graduates of Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, you could always tell there was always a certain edelkeit, a certain type of refinement of character which went together with being a product of Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim. So it's my privilege at this time actually to be makir tov to the yeshiva for everything that I experienced on a personal level. The individual whom we're commemorating tonight, Rav Meir Rav Yitzchak David Sandel, the father, the late father of our own, Rav David Sandel, Yibodo L'chaim, who as we know is a major, it's a pleasure to be able to welcome Mrs. Sandel to join us at the shiur here tonight and the family. Rav Meir I knew just a little bit from his last years that were spent here in the community, but I recently had the opportunity to speak at a chasana with Rabbi Aryeh Sokoloff, formerly of Rochester and formerly the Rav of the Sandel family. And we just sort of on our own, we started reminiscing about Rav Meir Sandel. And Rabbi Sokoloff described him as an individual who was so devoted to dikduk b'mitzvahs, but yet in a quiet, unassuming, humble fashion. In many ways, he exemplified, and the family continues, Yibodo L'chaim, the family continues to exemplify those very aspects of the combination of Torah and Musar which make Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim so special. Rav Meir wasn't a graduate of Chofetz Chaim to the best of my knowledge, but yet in his personality, in his character traits, it's very appropriate that he should be associated tonight with the yeshiva, especially because our guest speaker tonight, Rav Harris, was a co-founder of the yeshiva in Rochester, a branch of Yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, and served there for many years, Rochester of course being the hometown of the Sandels. It's Elul, Tshuva is in the air. We all want to grow closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. And it's a tremendous schus to be able to introduce our special guest speaker tonight, Rav David Harris Shlita, who will, Be'ezus Hashem, enliven us and inspire us to do exactly that.
Thank you very, very much, Moshe Mar Dasra. Warm words about the yeshiva. I also have extremely fond memories. You touched up from Mayor Sandel, the button, Victor, but with Sotsanua, Alavai. We wish the Talmidim could aspire to that combination of Midos Tovos and Sinios and quietness, doing the right thing, never making a show for himself, going with such incredible modesty and commitment to Avodas Hashem, the true Eved Hashem. I'd also like to begin by expressing on behalf of Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, our Koras HaTov to the communities, particularly the Bialystoker Synagogue Shul, for its years of dedication. An appeal is made. Before I began, the Rav handed me a few checks from the appeal. An appeal made. I have memories, I don't know how many of you remember. I remember one of my first rabbis when I came to the yeshiva a little bit 50 years ago when I arrived in Chofetz Chaim was Rabbi Avraham Perikov, the former Rav Racha, who I think was a member of the yeshiva for many, many years and started, someone told me yeshiva today that for 55 years you've been making an annual appeal before Tisha B'Av time for the yeshiva. We're very grateful for the support. As Hashem, I hope it should be, hope I'll try. The truth is, I already got my payback. You know, to prepare the speech itself is very, very meaningful for me. Opportunity to work on delivering, on presenting the ideas, hopefully will help me a little bit in my role to help to try and do a little bit of tshuva. I wanted to begin with some opening words from the Perek, the capital in Yeshaya, the Navi Yeshaya. Navi Yeshaya in Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Chav Gimel, tells Klal Yisrael, Hazinu Vishimu Koli, please listen to me. Hakshivu Vishimu Imrasi. Please listen. He then proceeds and says the following mashal, following parable. Hachol Hayom Yachrosh Hachoresh Nizroa. Will a person who's plowing a field, will he keep plowing the field the entire day? Nizroa. Will he keep tilling the soil and making it a better and better field over and over again? Hello, says the next person, if Shiva Panella, if he has finally flattened it out, he's tilled the soil, flattened it out, then he begins planting, Beifetz, Ketzach, Bechimo, Yisroel. He then the various plants, the wheat, the barley, the buckwheat that he plans to plant, he starts planting it. He doesn't spend his whole life just plowing the field. If he wants to produce produce, he plows. And then at the point where it's already smoothed out, at that point he gets to work. At that point, the next step, he proceeds to the next step. At the end of the parak, the mashal goes on with different aspects. In the concluding pasuk in the capital, Gamzos Be'im Hashem Tzavokos Yotza Hifli Eitza Higdil Toshia. This parable, this mashal I'm telling you, Yeshaya said, don't think it's coming from me. This is benevuah. This is a nevuah from Gosh Baruch Hu to transmit this wonderful mashal. The person, the example is when a person's planting a farmer, he plows and he plows, but then he goes to the next step and he starts planting the seed. So apparently this must be a very critical moshul. This is not from the Dumna Magid, this is not from an Amora, not from me. Not even Shai said, don't think this is for me. This is a very, very important marshal, and he sort of compliments and says, this is Mehem Hashem Tzavakos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself wanted to give us this marshal. What is the Nimsha? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in mind by delivering to us this critical marshal? So the Metzuda says, explain simple pshat, just as it is not the man, the style, the derech, the approach of a person plowing to constantly plow after he's already leveled off the field, then he begins planting each type of produce, each type of seed appropriately, the right place, the right manner. So too, there is no benefit, he says, in the musr, in the rebuke of the Navi alone, because after the speech, after they hear Yeshua Divrei HaNavi, Yisakru Maseim V'loshu B'tshuva Kefir Roi, you have to take the speech, take the tochacha that the Navi offered Yeshua is saying, and then proceed and implement it, each person according to their way, with their situation, and make changes in their life and improve themselves. So apparently it seems that this needs a great insight and a great revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing this to us, that apparently there's a tendency to feel, listen, I'm working, I'm going to hear the speech, I heard the Navi. But the mushers wake up. Hearing the Navi, hearing the speech, that's equivalent to plowing. But you're not going to get produce from plowing. You can plow from today to doomsday. You're not going to end up with any produce unless you take the plowing is the first step. It has to be followed up by planting the seeds and nurturing the seeds and watering the seeds, and then ultimately, then you will receive the produce. Apparently, we don't have that muscle clear in front of us. Then we say, well, listen, we're doing. What are we doing? We're listening. But it can't stop with listening. So the purpose of any speech, even that of Yeshaya Navi, the great insights that a Navi can offer to understand, to change their lives and uplift them, we need the marshal to understand that that's only the first step. We have to take the lesson, take the musr that anyone gives us, and then attempt to implement it, each one in his own way. Not every seed is planted in the same fashion, and to take it and apply it to ourselves. That's something which is very, very important. And Be'ez Hashem, the topic that we want to discuss this evening is as the Rav mentioned, tshuva, the concept, the wonderful chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided us opportunity to turn back to Him, to introspect, to look back at our lives, things we do wrong, have done wrong, and see if we cannot return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the tremendous chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided us. Because of Hashem's love for us, there is a Rashi that my Rashiva Zatzal would often quote, also in Yeshaya, where Rashi brings down by the parsha we say by Haftorah Dirushu Hashem Bimotzo, Rashi mentions explaining the gap between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways, the Chesed Hashem. Rashi says, Atem Nosnim Leiv Limo Bi, Klal Yisrael, you are attempting to rebel against me. Vani Nosnim Leiv Loshem Hashem, simultaneously, I'm trying to bring you back. That love, that closeness, that caring, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us, his care for Klal Yisrael. The question is, you know, we've been through this before, how do we make a meaningful tshuva? We're so likely to have feelings of somewhat yish, it seems so difficult to make real changes in our life. We're stuck in our ways, so to speak. How do we arouse ourselves and wake up and do something significant, something meaningful. I wanted to focus a few moments, more than a few moments, really the main target concept I want to get across this evening. I want to deal with something which is extremely fundamental to Yahadus, so much so that the great, great saintly Godel, the Alter of Slabodka, who was really the Rebbe and the mentor of many of the Gedolei Yisrael here in America. He was Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Rebbe, he was the Rebbe of Avraham Kotler Zatzal, Rav Yitzchak Ruderman, the Neyesora Shiva, Arwa Shiva's father, Rav David Lieber Zatzal, the many, many Gedolei Hador who planted Torah in America all received their guidance and direction from this great saintly Alter of Slabodka, Manasseh Zvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kodesh Tevracha. In one piece, towards the end of it, he has the Sefer Or HaTzofon, written by his Talmidim. In one piece he writes that Klolo Sheldovar, he says, HaKorah Be'erech Atzmo, a person's recognition of his own value, is Bechinas Achayim, is what life is all about. Oh, listen to this language. Ikur HaGodol Me'ikore Chayenu, the greatest principle from the principles of our life, who is Lahakiv Vadas Erko Shel Adam, to know and to recognize man's value Kefi Shevichos HaTorah, as the Torah appraises it, as the Torah evaluates it. That is the true reality. What he said then, and it's many, many times more true, that we are totally out of our judgment, our evaluation of what every human being is, and certainly what a Ben Yisrael is, we're off base. We're very much off target, properly understanding what each one of us is. We take the term that a human being is a Tzelem Elokim, is the image of God. We should stop for a moment and reflect on what that means. It means that there's one item in the entire universe, in the entire cosmos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed to be called in any small infinitesimal fashion after him. What else? There's nothing else. The most magnificent, phenomenal aspects in the entire wonderful, beautiful creation are called and described as in any small way a mirror and a small reflection of the holy, great HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is totally beyond any of our conception. A human being has this capacity. He has nobility. He has dignity. He has the capacity for midos. The midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Olam Chesed Yibaneh, which is constantly endowing the world with Chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas HaChesed. We, Klal Yisrael, have the capacity of being mizdamen, of mahu avata, of lachta bedrocha, of following the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of developing in our own personalities, our own character, some comparison, in some small way, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the total, infinite, great HaKadosh Baruch Hu, beyond all of our conception. Each human being has some connection, some affiliation, some relationship, and some potential to be able to connect with the Borei Olam. It's a concept that we have to try in this world, in this culture, where we're being bombarded with the exact opposite. We always talk about all the bad influences of the world and the culture. My own feeling is that one of the most corrosive aspects of the culture, the society we live in, is the way the total downgrading of the significance and meaning of a human being. The fact that in the culture, the heroes are the athletes, people have great physical powers, person has a lot of money, a person is an entertainment figure. the idea of, even in the cultural world, do you see anything about, well, this great genius, this mathematician, spending his life with chokhmah, this very sensitive person, very caring person. The aspects that distinguish a human being from an animal are not given any credibility, any strength, any power in the broad culture. Everything is so downgraded. I remember once, several years ago, being stunned. It hit me. I was driving in a car, and the radio on to listen to the news, and it's breaking news about the reporting, breaking news, you expect something important. The breaking news to report about a surgery of a horse. The concept that a behemoth is top news in the country. Some racing horse had an end. The reporting to the country about the status of a horse. What does that make us feel about ourselves? A person, a great sports figure. Oh, what's it? He can throw a basketball. He can hit a baseball. Is that what Mensch's all about? Is that what we're being trained to evaluate and appreciate? What is a Mensch? The godless person has. It's very. I want to share with you a Rashi, a Farish Rashi, Rashi Parshas VaYikra, that I think will help bring the point home. And I'll explain a few reasons why it's very basic and powerful for tshuva, but I think Rashi will help bring home the area well. Rashi brings down this Rashi Parshas VaYikra. Rashi brings down a statement from the great Tana Reb Yossi. Reb Yossi tells us this in Parakeh, Parash Vayikra, Posuk Yud Zayin. Reb Yossi says, "In Mamshech Leida Matnas Chorin Shel Tzadikim." You want to know the reward for being righteous, for what a good deed can bring? Learn from Adam Arishon. Adam Rishon was commanded on one negative commandment, and he violated. Look at how much death was wrought upon the entire world because of Adam's sin. Is Hashem's measurement of goodness, of reward, isn't it greater than his reward, than his midah of punishment? We are familiar with the concept he's alluding to, the fact that there's 500 times more significant. So the Rashi, the Reb Yossi continues, and midas puranios amuuta rei kamamisos nikolu derosa. If midas puranios, the punishment factor, which is so minimal. Look at the tremendous punishment that happened from Adam's one sin. Midah tova amaruba. Now listen to the words. Hayoshev lo mina pigulin, a person who refrains from eating pigul, vano soros, v'amisana b'yom ha-kippurim, a person who holds back from pigul, from those who are forbidden foods, and one who fasts on Yom Kippur, al achas kama v'kam. How much more so? She is get low l'doroso l'doroso atzov kol hadoros. How much will he merit for himself and for all future generations? In other words, Reb Yossi is saying, let's look at how Adam was punished for his bad deed. Look at the broad ramifications and implications of his act. And then realize if a Jew will refrain, will behave and not partake of forbidden food, will not eat on Yom Kippur, how much more reward will he earn for himself and for all future generations? Reb Yossi is telling me the following basic idea, which we have to try very much to imbibe psychologically and emotionally, namely, that there is no tremendous gap between Adam HaRishon and us. Emotionally and psychologically, Adam HaRishon, Kadosh Baruch Hu formed him. He was the angels brought the same kadosh to him. He was so holy, so exalted, so brilliant, so spiritual before he ever sinned. When he does, he represented all of mankind. When he does something wrong, all of mankind is affected. Me, a simple Jew, what am I doing? Fasting on Yom Kippur. How do you compare me to Adam HaRishon? When that psychological argument hits us, let's take out that Rashi. See, Rabbi Yossi says, every human being is the same way. Every member of Klal Yisrael, it can be judged and say, if that misbehavior of Adam HaRishon brought such tremendous punishment upon him and all future generations, when I, what am I? I'm a simple little guy. What am I? That's Adam HaRishon. He was the head of all mankind. He represented all history of all humanity. It was Adam HaRishon's greatness and capacity and connectedness to implications for his behavior. Each one of us has, each Ben Yisrael, there is no pircha, there is no challenge in Reb Yossi's limud. If Adam received, if it was such punishment for Adam's act, then for our behavior, our good behavior, and Midah Tovah is so much more profound, so much greater, how much more so will we be zocha to reward for sof kol hadoros? What, in other words, being an Adam, being in the Tzelem Elokim, being a Ben Yisrael, Bonim Atem, that relationship that we, each one of us is, creates upon us dramatic, tremendous capacities, responsibilities, and a tremendous connectedness, and every aspect of our behavior is so significant and so dramatic. There's four words that I often quote to the Talmidim in the Yeshiva, called the great Chavos Havavos, one of the great Musar authors from the period of the early Rishonim. He writes in Shai Cheshman HaNefesh, at the end, after he lists 30 different calculations a person should make constantly to improve himself, better himself, he then says four words that I often quote. He says, Hama'at Mimcha Rav Etzlo. What seems small to you is very large, Makadosh Baruch Hu. If we are that same giant as Adam HaRishon, our behavior is judged and calculated, and every aspect of our existence is treated with such severity in a positive way and in a negative way, Chas V'Shalom, that why is that so? How do we understand that? How can the answer is because we've been, so to speak, brainwashed by our culture and our society to not gain a proper evaluation, to not know as doubt as to what's the truth. The truth is we are like Adam HaRishon. We have capacities for avas chesed. There's a tremendous natural love embedded with that. We love to do chesed. All this great does not take away the Rebbe Yetzirah. We do plenty of things wrong. There's tremendous battle. But we have a tremendous power, a tremendous capacity to be misdominant. Think about those words. What it means to be misdominant, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Rosh Hashanah in particular, we often, we call throughout our tefillahs, we want to bring to bear the zuchus of the Akedah to Avram Avinu is Kovash Rachamov. Stop to think about it. This was one private event that took place one time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram a difficult challenge, and Avram's heart was pure, and he rose to the occasion, and he committed himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was a speck of time in history, and here we are, thousands of years later, blowing a shofar shalayim, bringing the zuchus of Yitzchak Avinu to save how many millions and millions and millions of yin have been saved year after year in the zuchus of that one act. When we analyze a country's, a people's history, That wasn't a significant a turning point. But looking back, look at the impact that's made. What was he doing? He was a private religious act. He was privately between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acting in a way of commitment, of love, and devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That love, that devotion, that caring, right now, today, thousands of years later, Jews all over the world are being saved, are being zochet, ksiva, ksiva, tovas, and yeshuas, and refuas, and there's a chus of Yitzhak, of Avraham Avinu, kovah shvachamah. Hashem is kovah shvachamah, mida keneged mida, the God's Klal Yisrael. This is the impact of an act. It's important that every level on act, Kodesh Baruch Hu weighs the level and measure. We have in Parshas Noach, the Torah tells us the incident where Noach was in an embarrassing situation, and his son Shem and Yefes were aware of it, and they went in a very respectful manner. It said, "Vikach Shem and Yefes as a similar." Shem and Yefes took the clothing, by Yasima, they took it on their shoulder, and they went by Yechoranis, they went backwards, by Yechazos, they covered their father, should no longer be in this embarrassing position without looking. Wherever they were wrong, they were rewarded for this good act. Tremendous reward for this one act. But look carefully, the Torah uses a language, by Yikach Shem Vayefes. Grammatically, properly, would have said Vayichu, Shem Vayefes took. But Chumash says Vayikach Shem Vayefes. Why the singular language? So Rashi explains, the reason why the Torah says Vayikach is because Vimir al Shem Shinis Ameitz B'mitzvah Yosef Yefes. He put a little more energy into the act. They approached the act, they were both tzaddiki, both doing the right thing, but Shem tried a little bit harder. Lekach zochu bono lekalis shel mitzvah shel tzitzis v'yefes zochu lekfur lebono. That little difference, that little additional effort that Shem put in more than Yefes produced dramatically different results. They both did a wonderful good act. They both were rewarded for it. For Dorei Doros, Mida Keneged Mida. But that slight difference, because Baruch Hu was weighing every aspect. Remember a beautiful language, my Rebbe Zatzal, once you described in the Shmuz, there's a Chazal that mentions that Moshe Rabbeinu criticized Klal Yisrael, all of you people, you couldn't save me. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a decree that I should not be able to enter Eretz Yisrael, you weren't able to bail me out. I bailed you out by the angle. You couldn't bail me out. The Shiva explained that Klal Yisrael, didn't they care for Moshe Rabbeinu? Didn't they cry and plead and scream to the heavens to please save Moshe Rabbeinu? Surely they did. Surely they cried. Remember the Shiva's language. Shiva said, Baruch Hu measures the temperature of the tears. They cried. They felt very emotional. They cared for Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, tears could have been a little hotter, a little warmer. The Baruch Hu weighs and measures every aspect of our behavior. There is nothing too small, nothing insignificant. If Shem tries a little bit harder, he gets a totally different reward. He gets tzitzis and he gets a kvura by go, different results. To realize that it's impossible to talk about a concept is both of a sheshit. To me, when we talk about concept of tshuva, it's an idea of changing ourselves. And we say, can I make real changes? We can make a very small change. It's rav that slow. It's dramatically important. It makes an incredible difference. The smallest shinui. There's a sefer that we don't often quote in the yeshiva very rarely, and I'm certainly not one able to understand most of this sefer. This is the sefer Nefesh HaChayim, written by Vilna Gaon's illustrious Talmid Rav Chaim Volozhin. the head of the creator of the entire the yeshiva movement is credited to Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was the Rebbe of the Rav Solanter's Rebbe, two generations ahead of the great Rav Solanter. He writes in the Sefer Nevesh HaChayim at the end of Shar Aleph, which deals a lot of we would call it highfalutin, things that are difficult for most of us. So let me talk to myself, for me to grasp and to understand, I couldn't really understand much. But this paragraph is fascinating. He summarizes and he says, a person who's zocher to understand Kabbalah, most of them are not ready for Kabbalah. Someone who is zocher, he understands the works of Rav Shimon bar Yochai and the work of Isha, Arav HaKodesh Isha Kim No Harizal. He's able to study the Arizal, study the Zohar, Shimon Yochai. Why does Hashem give them that zuchus? Listen to what he says. The person who is zochet to understand Kabbalah, the secrets of the world, who is for one purpose, right today, only. She is bonin called echad. So a person, each person, according to their intellect and their understanding, should understand ad heichon magiyim kol prote maasa v'dibur machshavoso. To the extent, the impact of the details of the person's actions, his words, his thoughts, holding out of all of his inyanim, in the olamos, their worlds, the human being. And each man of Israel is the centerpiece of the entire universe. We are the part in the universe which is Domei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're the reason for the entire universe. And there are many, many worlds and spiritual worlds that we know very little about, but they're very holy and very significant. And the Jew is hooked in and connected. And the behavior we make has in all directions has tremendous impact. There's a language that there's a medrash that the Vilna Gaon brings down. Vilna Gaon in his famous letter to his mother, to his wife, that is, the letter to his wife. Here it is. Vilna Gaon his letter writes, quotes a medrash. The Medrash says, "Korega v'rega sh'odam chosei piv." Every moment that a person just muzzles his mouth, zoche b'shvilo, he merits because of that. Just keeping quiet, not speaking anything bad, he zoche because of it. Lo'or hagonus to a hidden light, shein malach beri yichom yishoyah. That no angel, no creature is able to evaluate. That is what we're zocher to do for just doing nothing. That is what a human being is. With that attitude, with that understanding, can we take a light attitude to change, to behavior? Can we say it makes no difference? We're stuck whether we like it or not. It makes a difference. Whatever we do makes a very, very dramatic, meaningful difference. And if we can think now with that attitude, and knowing the potential, and there are many other ramifications of understanding it, how do we connect to a fellow human being, a fellow Jew, realizing his nobility, his greatness, to give him proper respect, proper dignity, to realize, are we ourselves acting in a dignified manner? Look who we really are. We're in the image, we're in the mirror image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do we should treat ourselves and give ourselves the proper respect, the proper dignity? Is that behavior becoming a melech, a nobleman, a princely person? How do we behave? To analyze our own behavior from that perspective. But particularly as far as tshuva, the attitude of, well, I'm not going to really make a change. If we make the smallest change, we are impacting the Dorei Doros, or the Marishon. If a person's Misaneh Miyom HaKippurim, he's having impact with Dorei Doros, all generations. Unfortunately, our culture has made this difficult, and we have to work on trying to abide this and appreciate it and feel it, each one of us. myself very much included, needs constant work and our melus and thinking about it. When we come to what can we do lamaisa after the inspiration, where can we make changes? Two ideas. Number one is the idea of a concept of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter talks, the idea to make a commitment to try and work out, to put into our daily schedule a few minutes, start with a very few minutes, try to develop a habit of learning Musar. There are several basic Musar works that all have translations in English. There's a Mesilas Yeshorim, there's Ochos Tzadikim, there's a Shari Tshuva, Chovos Halavavos. Those works, written by great masters who understood the complexities of the human being, and to inspire us to spend a few minutes drawing ourselves away. Yisrael Salanter writes in his famous letter Gimel, he writes that the responsibility to learn Musar on a daily basis is a chov porush al kol chai. Men, women, so the person could be perhaps put in Talmud Torah, very overwhelmed, panosa to make, he can't find time. But Musar, he says, each of us is fighting the Yetzirah. Without a dose of Musar, he says, it's impossible. And in one of the letters he writes, in letter Lamed, he writes that a person who commits himself to learn Musar, he's alive. And therefore, he's bechlal osei tshuva. He can be treated and viewed in a certain way as an osei tshuva without everything. The mere commitments with any one aspect, and we want a sort of a New Year's resolution to improve ourselves, we trust to be a soul salanter, and to make some commitment to get one of the musar svarim and spend a few minutes a day thinking about it. Puts a different perspective on life. We move from the daily running and rushing. We're so busy, we stop to lose sight of the purpose of the world and what we're in the world for. A few minutes a day of Musar is so critical. The Yisrael says, you bechlal osei tshuva. And the other practical angle is the Yisrael Salanter's chiddush of what he calls kalos. That means to say, isn't there something in our very... To analyze our behavior, isn't there some area where we can make some small changes? No, to analyze, so there are certain aspects that are relatively easy to do. For example, if it's hard to daven every davening b'kavana, could we make up to consider part of one davening a week, start with something, make a little change? Is it so difficult? Or Shavi used to always refer to the fact, is it so difficult? Let's say we have a problem with talking and davening inappropriately. To learn to make a little change over there, it's relatively easy. It's just a matter to just get used to make a change over there. We all have problems in terms of exposure to the culture. That maybe we're perhaps overexposed, bringing in too much of the Goyisha influences and the negativity and the preachers into our lives. Make a small change. Whatever each person, according to where they're up to, see if I can't resolve to make a small shinui, a small change. Something that's really easy. I'm not going to start to bite the whole thing off. It will be over before Sukkot has gotten the resolution. Try and make a very minimal step and get used to it. Make a step. A person, however much learning they're doing, a person can. It would be easy to make a small step. And perhaps we're most held to task for not taking the small steps. To tackle everything, well, it's a little, it's very difficult. But can't we make small steps? If we realize the message that we're trying to project, the fact that the ma'at mimcha, what's so small, what seems so different, if shame and yafis are going together to do a chesed, and they're doing it wonderfully, but there's a little bit more energy, a little bit more power to it, it's a tremendous, it's a different act. If we will, whatever thing we're doing wrong, if we do a little less wrong, it's tremendous. That's changing the world. It's dramatically. You must not be on Yom Kippur. If a person could control in terms of Lashon Hara, sometime some aspect, maybe because they listen. I'm going to make sure, at least ensure I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. Or each person make some area where it's the easiest and the least challenging. That, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, is the part we're most held to task for, and that aspect is the easiest to accomplish, and therefore it brings the greatest, removes the greatest onus, chas v'shalom. So therefore, we have to try and realize how significant it is. We have a perspective of ourselves. We realize the reservoir of strength that we have to work on ourselves. We have Yetzirahs. And then we can talk on much longer with all the greatness, all the Avas Chesed. We have selfishness, and we have Midos roles, and the Midos roles have to be dealt with. They have to be handled. We can't just live on automatic pilot. Person works on Musar, analyzes the behavior, and realizes, is this appropriate for human being to behave this way? A person should, is this appropriate? Is this nice to be haughty, to be anger, short-tempered? Is that appropriate? You have godliness in you. You have majesty and greatness. You should be the most noble, refined prince, and you have the capacity within you. It's all there. Bez Hashem, there's a beautiful medrash. Rish Baruch Hu said to Kali Yisrael, before this, Atem Pesuli Pesach Chudo Shamacha. Rish Baruch Hu is stretching his hands. He wants us to come back there. He wants us to make a step. As they'll say, Rish Baruch Hu said to Kali Yisrael, opening a nekev, a hole, kechudo shamacha, like the head of a needle, the smallest hole we can imagine. Because you take that step, but the eftach lochem pesach.